I'm David Schreiner Kahn, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep us stuck, particularly as expertise-based business owners that just never seem to have enough time for everything. Would you like to learn how you can generate more leads without struggling to deliver your services to the clients you already have? What if you were taught how to step out of your comfort zone to leverage tools like podcasts, social media, and video in order to constantly bring in leads, sales, and keep your pipeline full? And what if you knew how to hire the right talent that'll help you scale your business and create greater value without being so hands-on? Then join our free Smashing the Plateau community, where listeners and guests of Smashing the Plateau connect, collaborate, and learn how to smash the plateau in business, work, and life. You can join by going to smashingtheplateau.com/Facebook. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Madeline Niebauer. Maddie is the CEO and founder of VChief. She helps overwhelmed leaders get on top of their to-do list and spend their time where they can have the most impact. The Virtual Chief of Staff Service supports leaders from all sectors and domains who are looking for high-level strategic support on a part-time basis. Prior to founding VChief, Maddie spent 5 years as a Chief of Staff at Teach for America. She enjoyed being a strategic thought partner and project manager who could truly leverage a leader's time so they could be more productive and successful. She knew many leaders could benefit from this type of support on a part-time basis, which inspired her to launch VChief. Maddie has more than 20 years of professional experience, including 8 as a chief of staff, and has her MBA from Columbia Business School and bachelor's degree from Stanford University. Maddie, welcome to the show.
Thanks, David. Excited to be here.
So, Maddie, why does an organization need a chief of staff in the first place?
That's a good question. I think a leader often needs a chief of staff when they're feeling like they can't focus on the areas where they can be most productive. So, for example, if a leader is spending time in ways where they're feeling like, oh my gosh, this is not the best use of my time, that's a good signal that they could use a chief of staff. They could also need an executive assistant. So thinking through exactly what type of support they need is important. To help think about that. The other reason that a leader often needs a chief of staff is to really supplement their skill set. Oftentimes, leaders will be really visionary people who have these great ideas and don't always know how to operationalize them, or could help someone who could use help from someone in setting up systems that will help them be more efficient with their time.
So I'm wondering, as I'm listening to you describe how a chief of staff can be helpful.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, what do you see as the difference between, and you kind of mentioned this a little bit too, between an executive assistant, a chief operating officer, and a chief of staff?
Right. So I'll start with the executive assistant. An executive assistant supports a leader personally, in the same way a chief of staff does, but they focus more on the tactical and logistical things. So they're the ones who might be booking your calendar appointments, booking your plane tickets, managing your expenses, really logistical and tactical pieces like that. A chief of staff also personally supports a CEO or a leader, but they focus more on higher level strategic things. So they might help do strategic planning for the organization. They might do project management. They might draft communications on behalf of a leader. And then the COO can do some of the same operational things that a chief of staff does, but they typically do it for the overall organization as opposed to sort of personally supporting the leader. So a chief of staff's loyalty is always to the leader they support, and they really play more of a background role, whereas a COO is focused more on the overall organization and often has a bit more of a public role.
Does that mean that sometimes a COO might have some conflicts with the CEO, and the chief of staff would have fewer?
You know, not necessarily, but I think, you know, when there's a difference in opinion in terms of, you know, the best next step for an organization strategically, a COO might be more sort of public about, you know, or not public externally, but even within the organization. Say you're at a team meeting and you're talking about what's the right next step. That COO might push forward a different agenda than the CEO. Whereas the chief of staff would do that behind closed doors, right? They're not afraid to push back on the leader, but they often stay in the background and they'll let the leader, you know, share their opinions and then say, hey, you know, have you thought about it this way?
Now, is there a size organization where it starts to make sense to think about a chief of staff? And if an organization is really small, it may not be as essential, or am I wrong in asking that question?
No, I mean, I think it's a good question. I think it becomes more sort of standard practice as organizations and companies get bigger. You know, any big company you look at will have a chief of staff, even if they don't have that title, they will have someone playing that role for a leader and for the organization. Smaller organizations, you know, can use it. It's just a question of whether that they have the budget for someone full time in the role, which is why we created the organization that we did, which provides that on a sort of fractional basis, right? If you need a chief of staff or could use that kind of support, but you really don't have the workflow to demand someone full time in the role, or you don't have the budget, we can be a great option to provide that on a part time basis. But I would say, often we see organizations when they hit somewhere to the between 50 and 100 people, we'll pull that in on a full-time basis.
Okay. So now let's talk about the virtual nature of what you provide. And I would imagine for the smaller organizations that are looking for the competence of a chief of staff, but again, don't have the budget or perhaps the need for somebody full time, having the skill set available virtually can be a huge benefit because they probably can't do it easily in person.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is, for some clients, it's more challenging to work virtually. We do have some who we do work with in person. What I think the virtual aspect brings as a benefit is that you have access to, you know, a nationwide database. And so the person who might be the best fit for you as a chief of staff, you know, might be in California and you might be in New York. And so by being open to working virtually, you get access to a much broader pool of talent. And we find that clients really appreciate that fit.
So thinking about that best fit, what are some of the ideal qualities of a chief of staff?
Right. So the best chiefs of staff are really analytical and strategic in the ways that they think, and they can help support a CEO when they're having big challenges that they're facing, so they can be that thought partner to them. There are also people who are happy to be in the background, who are real servant leaders, and whose primary goal is lifting someone else up, which means you have not a massive ego, right? You're really focused on helping a leader be the best leader that they can be. Also, they have great emotional intelligence. They're someone who can really read other people and understand everyone's underlying motivations in order to help get them to do what they need to do. Because as a chief of staff, you don't often, you know, manage the entire team, but you work very closely with a leader's direct reports. And, you know, you often have to lead by influence rather than, you know, a formal management role. And having someone with really strong emotional intelligence can really be more successful in that role.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. What are some examples, Maddie, of cases where having a chief of staff, particularly a virtual chief of staff, have helped an organization smash the plateau?
Yeah, well, when I think of that, I think of some of the startups that we work with. Oftentimes, we'll work with founders who, as I said, have a really great, brilliant idea that they're trying to bring to market, and they don't necessarily know all of the steps they need to take to even get their nonprofit or company off the ground. So, we have one client, they're called POSIP, and it's an educational technology company that's building surveys for schools. And the leader is absolutely brilliant, but we really helped her hone her idea and think about, okay, how do we systematize this so it takes a lot less resources to provide the service you're doing? You can do much more of it in an automated way. And thinking through her business strategy. So what should your price point be? How should you think about finding new clients, and everything also to some of the behind the scenes operations, things like finding an accountant and a lawyer and some of those other pieces that just need to get done in the world of a startup, but that a startup leader may not either have the expertise in or frankly the time to do.
Hmm. And how does this kind of service differ from business coaching or from consulting?
Right, right. In some ways, I think we play a similar role to executive coaches in terms of, helping a leader set their strategic priorities and holding them accountable to achieving them. Where I think it differs is that we also actually implement ideas and work closely to help a leader move them forward. So an executive coach might tell you what to do. We will do that, but we will also help you do that and take other things off your plate so you can focus your time on that, right? So if, for example, you are, you're a solopreneur, you're doing everything. You need someone to help you think through accounting and marketing and all of these other pieces of your business so that you can really focus where you have the most impact, right? So maybe you should be spending your time doing business development or, doing client work. So you need someone behind the scenes who can free you up to spend more of your time doing more of those things, which will then, increase your revenue as a business.
Yeah, fascinating. So Maddie, I know that you had, I read in the introduction, part of your bio, that you spent time as a chief of staff. So clearly you learned learned this from the inside. What prompted you to actually launch a business offering this kind of service to multiple clients as opposed to just being a chief of staff for somebody else?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And for me, I was really ready for a new challenge in my career. I had been a chief of staff for many years at Teach for America, and then I actually moved into a vice president role. I was enjoying it, but I wasn't feeling, challenged and engaged deeply on a day-to-day basis. And I felt like I was really ready to take something on. And what actually sparked me to move forward with it was I had a former boss who left to start a new nonprofit, and she was the one who I was a chief of staff for many years. And she came back to me and she said, "Listen, Maddie, I, have been working without you for a handful of months. And I'm realizing that there's a set of things that you did really well that I haven't found someone else who can do as well as you. So would you consider coming back and moonlighting for me, 5 or 10 hours a week in addition to your full-time job?" And I was really excited for that opportunity. And that really sparked a thought for me that, I think there are other people like this person who could use a chief of staff, but who don't have the budget or the workload to require someone full time. So initially, I actually thought, well, maybe I'll just be a freelance part-time entrepreneur, a part-time chief of staff to these folks and have, 3 or 4 clients. And then, I spent a lot of time thinking about, the business and having conversations with people and realized that there was far more demand for this type of support than I could personally provide. And thought a lot about what the right model was to offer it to other companies. And that's when I looked at the virtual assistant model, where a leader will opt into a certain number of hours of support per month. And it seemed like a really good match to try that, but with the chief of staff role. And also, I mean, candidly, I was really looking for ways to, you know, continue to work, but find the balance that I wanted in my life. At the time I was making this transition, I was working remotely from Costa Rica with my family. And, you know, I thought, okay, like, how can I build a business where I am not the one doing all the work, right? Where I spend my time hiring people so that they can then do the work with clients. And that, I think, was one of the key things that I did that helped me smash that plateau, that I didn't just rely on me to do the business. Yes, I'm a great chief of staff, but I also know what makes a great chief of staff. So I'm great at finding chiefs of staff, which has been, frankly, the easiest part of this business, has been finding the talent, I think, because there are a lot of people who are excited about a really engaging role, but being able to do it virtually and part-time is really compelling to people. And it's sort of the way the workforce is going right now.
For sure. Well, listeners, I hope you're really enjoying this discussion with Maddie Niebauer. These issues that we're discussing are exactly the same kinds of issues that we hear over and over again from expertise-based business owners. And we discussed the details inside our free Smashing the Plateau community on Facebook, which includes step-by-step training from guests of the show and other successful entrepreneurs. So I hope you'll consider joining us there at smashingtheplateau.com/Facebook. So Maddie, this is really, really fascinating. And I'm really also curious to know, as you started to launch your own business, what were some of the plateaus that you've hit, and how did you overcome them?
Yeah, well, as I said, I think, you know, one of the biggest questions for me was, do I do this all myself, or do I have other people do it? And that was really helpful to decide in the very beginning, even though it was a very risky move, right? To start hiring other people immediately. And that was really helpful to me. I think, you know, a number of the other things that I have done is some of the things that we recommend to clients. So for example, one of the things we do with every client is help them think through what are their personal strategic priorities. So these are different and unique from your organizational or your company priorities, but how should you personally be spending your time? So for me, I was working with my executive coach to map out my priorities. And every week I think through, look at those priorities and think about, you know, the week that I have mapped ahead of me, and what does that look like? And does that really align with my priorities? If I say I'm supposed to be doing business development and client support and staffing and things like that, how does my calendar look like? Does that map to that? And then the other thing that has been really important to me is really blocking out time in my calendar to just think and strategize and not be managing my inbox, not be taking calls from other people, but really taking that time to be strategic about what I want to do to grow my business and to make sure that, you know, we're meeting clients' needs. And so that's another thing that we suggest doing with our clients, and that has been important to me to help grow this business.
So what's been some of the most helpful ways that you have gotten the kind of support you need for your business?
Right. So I have, you know, as we've grown, I've needed different things, and being able to pull in different folks to help me has been incredibly important. So, you know, I have a number of different folks that I work with that help me with, you know, accounting and digital media and, you know, managing risk or lawyers or things like that. And I think, finding those people at different points has been really helpful. The other common theme that I've had since the very day I launched this business was an executive coach. And we work with Radical Spark Coaching, and they have been just an incredible resource to both, you know, help keep me grounded as I start this and remind me why I'm doing it, and also just talk through problems as they pop up. It's been a really invaluable resource to me.
That's great. So Maddie, we're wrapping up, and I wanted to ask you one bonus question, which is, what are the top actionable steps, if you could boil it down, that you've used to achieve the results that you've described in this episode? And before you answer, I want to let listeners know that we're going to post the answer to this bonus question inside the Smashing the Plateau community on Facebook. So we're going to go into the details there. And again, it's smashingtheplateau.com/Facebook to join. So Maddie, hold your thought on that question. And in the meantime, whom do you know personally who's been really successful at smashing plateaus?
Yeah, I have a personal mentor, Ami Eubanks Davis, who's the woman I was a chief of staff for many, many years. And she just rose to incredibly high levels of leadership at Teach for America. And then she also left to start her own. It was a new nonprofit. And she really, through her work at Teach for America, saw a need to build diverse leadership. And so she created a nonprofit called Braven that creates college courses that help young, emerging, diverse leaders connect to strong first jobs. And she's been a huge mentor to me, just to know that you can step away from a really incredibly successful career at a big, well-known organization and head out on your own and be successful at it.
Oh, it sounds like a great example.
Yeah, thank you.
So, Maddie, what can we look forward to in the near future from you? What is it that you're offering now, and what do we have to look forward to?
Yeah, well, you know, we offer this part-time chief of staff support to a lot of different clients where we've been growing in all different sectors. We support a lot of startups, as well as companies and nonprofits across different sectors. One thing we're thinking about a lot is the startup space in particular, and how do we create a product that is at an affordable level for very new fledgling startups that can help connect them to all of the operational resources to help get them off the ground. And I think that's something that we're thinking hard about and would love to talk to people about.
Right. So for people that are looking for an easy way to test this model out and get started.
Exactly. Exactly. And people who want to learn a little bit more about our organization or the chief of staff role in particular can visit our website, which is virtualchiefofstaff.com/smashingtheplateau. And we have some downloads there that people can learn more about the role and about the work that we do.
That's great. And are there any other ways that listeners can learn more about you and follow you besides the website?
Yeah, we are active on Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn. So you can just look up Virtual Chief of Staff on any of those and find us and follow us. We post a lot about leadership and about productivity and maximizing your time, as well as about the chief of staff role.
Sounds great. And particularly, as you mentioned earlier in the episode, that there's been a lot of transformation in the way people work, and having access to cutting edge thoughts about this, which is really what, in large part, what you deal with, is probably a huge benefit to people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Maddie, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. My guest today has been Madeline Niebauer, the CEO and founder of VChief, Virtual Chief of Staff Service. Thank you again, Maddie, for joining us.
Thanks, David.
Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau. I hope you've enjoyed our discussion today. To get Maddie's answer to my bonus question, join our free Smashing the Plateau community on Facebook, where all the practical tips that our guests share on this show will be there waiting for you to sift through and implement in your own business. As I mentioned earlier, our community focuses on three pillars of Smashing the Plateau, in particular for an expertise-based business: how to generate more leads, how to scale your business by hiring the right talent, and how to step out of your comfort zone to leverage new tools like podcasts, social media, and video to fill your pipeline. So go to smashingtheplateau.com/Facebook to join now. That's www.smashingtheplateau.com/Facebook. We want you to smash the plateau in business, work, and in life.